So in exercise number one, we are supposed to show that this Gn, which is defined as the conditional expectation of F with respect to sigma algebra Fn, that this is a martingale. So we need to prove these three properties, that Gn is Fn measurable, and that it's integrable, and thirdly, that Gn is the conditional expectation of Gn plus one with respect to Fn. So firstly, this property that Gn is Fn measurable, this comes for free because by definition of conditional expectation, Gn is Fn measurable. And the second property, that Gn must be integrable, here we can use the convexity property of the conditional expectation. This is proposition 1, 2, 3, part 3. So here. So the absolute value of the conditional expectation is always less than or equal to the conditional expectation of the absolute value. And this we can use here. And then this integral with respect to P, this is actually just the conditional expectation with respect to F0, because F0 is the sigma algebra which consists only of the empty set and the whole omega. So this conditional expectation with respect to F0 corresponds to the expectation, which is the integral with respect to P. And now we can use the tower property. So in role of G, we would have this F0, and in role of H, we have Fn. And no, the vice versa. So in role of H, we have F0, and in role of G, we have Fn. So this is just the conditional expectation with respect to F0. So we can forget this first conditional expectation and the conditional expectation with respect to F0 is just the expectation. And we get the expectation of absolute value of F, and this is finite because that was the assumption on F. And then the third property, we need to show that Gn is the conditional expectation of Gn plus one with respect to Fn. And here we again use the tower property. So Gn plus one is the conditional expectation of F with respect to Fn plus one. So we write that on face of Gn plus one. And then by the tower property, we only take the conditional expectation with respect to the smaller sigma algebra. So Fn is a sub sigma algebra of Fn plus one. And so we only take the conditional expectation with respect to Fn, and that's Gn. And all those properties are satisfied. So Gn is a martingale. In exercise number two, we are trying to hedge our European put option K minus ST and positive part of K minus ST. And ST can now have two different values, 20 or 5. And K and S0 have given values also. And let's compute the hedging portfolio phi 0, phi 1, and then the option price. So at time 0, we have the amount phi 0 plus phi 1 times S0, and this should equal to the option price, P0. And at time capital T, we have the amount phi 0 plus phi 1 times ST, because the price of S has changed between S0 and ST, and this should equal to the option price K minus ST plus positive part of K minus ST. And from this latter equation, the amount of money that we have at time capital T, we get two equations. So ST can be 20 or 5. So this, we get two equations, phi 0 plus 20 times phi 1 equal to 0, and phi 0 plus 5 times phi 1 should be 10. And here we can solve phi 0 and phi 1. So we have two unknowns and two equations, and we get phi 0 and phi 1, and then P0 can be computed from the first equality phi 0 plus phi 1 times S0 should be P0. So that's just a straightforward computation. So in exercise number 3, we compare the case of not buying an option and buying an option in the setting of assignment number 2. So if one does not buy the option, one only buys the share and pays the amount S0. So we are losing S0, so there's minus S0, but then we are gaining ST at time capital T. And if ST is 20, then we gain 20 minus 12, so S0 was 12. So we gain 8 units of money. And if ST is 5, then we are losing 7 units of money if we are not buying the option. And in case B, one does buy the option. So in addition to buying the share with price S0, one is buying the option with price P0. So we have minus P0 minus S0. And then we are gaining the amount of ST, but also the amount of the option. So if ST is 20, then ST plus positive part of K minus ST is 20. And if ST is 5, then ST plus the positive part of K minus ST is 15. And we get that if ST is 20, then we win 8 over 3 units of money. And if ST is 5, then we are losing 7 over 3 units of money. So the buying the option brings security. Okay, in number 4, we are subtracting the call and put parity. And we want to show that this is the expectation of ST minus K. So first of all, we might compute this difference of these functions, positive part of X minus K minus positive part of K minus X. And we get that this is X minus K. And now in place of the variable X, we plug in ST. So here we have this difference. So this will be expectation of ST minus K. And we can do this subtraction because these two expect values are finite. And these two are finite because ST is integrable. And because both of these random variables can be above bounded by the absolute value of ST plus the absolute value of K. So both of these expected values exist. So that's why we can put them together and use the linearity of expectation. So in number 5, we want to show that the representation property does not hold in the setting of assignment number 5. And the representation property was that saying that any random variable set can be presented as the sum of this form. And in this exercise, if we are we had that the in place of SK, we have this BK, which is the sum of epsilon k's. So we have here BK minus BK minus 1, and that's just epsilon k. So we have some constant alpha plus some random variable which depends only on epsilons up to k minus 1. And if k is equal to 1, then this vk minus 1 is not a random variable, but only a constant. And that's why if we have a random variable which depends only on epsilon 1, then the representation would be a plus b times epsilon 1. So we consider a random variable z of epsilon. So this epsilon is the vector of epsilon 1 to epsilon capital T. And we let it be of this. So z of epsilon would be f of epsilon 1. And now we see that this f would have to be a linear function. F has to be a straight line, at least on those three points, in order to have the representation property. So if we choose an f which is not a straight line, for example here, f minus 1 is minus 4, f 0, 0, and f 1 equal to 1, this is not a linear function, so this representation property cannot hold. So in number 6, we are given a finite probability space, and we are supposed to prove that for a given random variable set, the set of expectation of a set, where we take the expectations with respect to martingale measures of S, and we should show that this is an interval or a point. And first of all, because omega is bounded, omega is finite, so z has to be a bounded random variable. So these values, these expectations are also bounded by the minimum and maximum of z. So this is a finite set. So this we get from the boundedness of z. And to prove that this is an interval or consists of only one value, we need to show that if we take two values, A and B, from this set, then any value between A and B is also contained in this set. So for any C. And if C is between A and B, then C can be presented as 1 minus theta times A plus theta times B. And here if we choose theta to be C minus A divided by B minus A. And this theta is between 0 and 1. And then we define a third measure and use the convexity of the space of martingale measures. So this measure Q is a martingale measure also. And then we compute the expectation of Z with respect to Q, then we get this one, which is the value C. And now I missed the part where if we have A and B in this set, then there are measures Q0 and Q1, such that A is the expectation of Z with respect to Q0 and B is the expectation of Z with respect to Q1. So this proves that this set is an interval and even a finite interval. And now since omega is a finite set, then any probability measure can be given by point masses. So Qi is the probability of omega I in this measure Q. Q of the set which consists only of one point omega I, so that's an omega I. This is O Qi. So any probability measure Q can be represented with this vector Q, Q in Rn. And now we let A be the set of such vectors Q, which give a Martingale measure. So this set A is in one-to-one correspondence to the set of Martingale measures. And let's prove that this set A is closed. And actually that it's compact. It's finite because these QIs are bounded by one, obviously, from above and by zero from below. So this A is bounded, and we show that it's closed, then we get that it's a compact set. And we know that in a continuous mapping, the image of a compact set is closed. And at the end, we create this continuous function F. But let's first prove that A is closed. Okay, so if we take a sequence of QNs in A, which converges, and we need to show that the limit is also in A, and this will prove that A is a closed set. And we define a measure Q to be the measure that we get from these limit points. Okay, we need to show that Q is a probability measure, and also that it's SK is a Martingale with respect to Q. So these QIs are non-negative because QINs are non-negative. And Q of omega is the sum of QIs, and QIs are this limit of QINs. So this is just a finite sum here, so we can really just take the limit outside, and for each small n, this sum is equal to one, so also the limit is equal to one. So Q is a probability measure. And to show that SK is a Martingale with respect to Q, well, first of all, SK is integrable with respect to Q because each SK is bounded, and the boundedness of SK comes from the fact that this probability space omega is finite. And then if we compute consider the condition of the conditional expectation, we want to show that the integral of SK minus one with respect to Q is equal to the integral of SK. If A is from FK, so this equality will prove that SK plus one is the SK is the conditional expectation of SK plus one. And so this integral is just summing up all these omega I's in A, and the value of SK plus one at omega I, and the probability of omega I, which is QI. Okay, QI is the limit of QINs. And the sum is finite, so we can take the limit outside, and we get this integral with respect to Qn. And we know that this Qn is a Martingale measure. Because Qn is a Martingale measure, this integral is equal to the integral of Sk. And now we just put the limit back in, or can write the sum and put the limit back in, and get this integral of Sk with respect to Q. Okay, so Q is a Martingale measure, and this means that this set A is closed. And because it was bounded, it's compact. And now we write F, a mapping F. So F of Q would be the expectation of set, well, with respect to the measure Q, which corresponds to that vector small q. So these q's are, so the vector small q defines this measure Q. And clearly F is continuous function because it's a linear function in X. And so the image of F is a closed set. Image of a compact set is closed, and this you have learned in vector analysis. The image of Earth is the set of these expectations. So this set of these expectations is closed. Okay. So the set of those expectations with respect to the Martinel measures, this is a closed interval. That's what we get.